Blog Talk Radio.
To another edition of Soul Sessions right here on Flavor News Radio. I am your host, Dwayne Austin, and as I explained to you guys last week, I have a guest tonight, but we'll get into that a little later. Right now, we're going to get into some music. Kick things off with some Anthony Hamilton off his latest release. This is Hard to Breathe. You are tuned in to Soul Sessions Radio.
Caught up in you, and I don't wanna be seeing your
Never dreamed of the day I'd be without you. But what more could I prove? Tried to reach you.
Thank you.
Imagining all the drama like a film. It runs through my mind, all the hard times, how it turns. Imagining you there, thinking of your future and of your past and your new world. Your eyes look slow, and the ticking of the clock too slow.
Something I did. we were where we should be. Oh, was I surprised when I saw the love leave your eyes? Can we try this over? I don't wanna leave it like this. Can we maybe try this over? Do we get it just right? Yeah, just right. Baby, I'm not that crazy. There's something wrong here lately, so I'm wondering if something we missed happened even here. Started out was good time. Now I just don't know where your heart lies, but I'm willing to try one time. If we can try this over. Just
I'm
Welcome back, everyone. As I stated before, this is the Soul Sessions Radio Show, right here on Flavor News Radio. As always, I am your host, Dwayne Austin. What you just heard was Romantic Movement has returned himself, Jesse Boykins III with Before the Night Is Through. Before that was Daryl Strode's with Over and Over, which is a cut that I rather like. I just like the vibe to that song. Before that was a DC group by the name of Columbia Knights, the track called Stormy Weather. Before that, Dallas's own Carmen Rogers with It's Me. Avery Sunshine with Ugly Part of Me, which if you haven't seen the video for that, you need to check it out. That's a really cool video right there. You can find it on YouTube. And we let off that set with Anthony Hamilton off of the Point of It All CD, which is his, I believe that's his latest project. Track is entitled So Hard to Breathe. As I stated at the beginning of the show, we do have a guest. I'm actually waiting for our guest to call in, singer-songwriter by the name of Jonathan Winstead. Very talented brother. We're going to check out some of his music, talk about his CD, which is entitled Lover Street. You know, I'm going to figure out, you know, how he got that name. That's pretty much the first question I'm going to ask. You know, I'm just going to kick it. I had him put together a playlist of about 5 songs that he wanted to hear. And I'm going to play that for you as well. So as soon as he calls in, we'll go ahead and get that started. But I'll go ahead and put some more music down for you while we wait. Let me see. What can I do? Ah, yes. Here, I'll go ahead and hit you with this one here.
Like traffic in here, or is it already Monday? Scent of you still sitting like chocolate on my tongue, hungry for more of you again. Ooh, I must be going crazy. Easy, you start it over again. I don't even feel like making up right now, even though it's the best part. Could you just sit still and enjoy the moment? Forget the time is asking all the things we cannot answer. But ooh, did you just leave again? Could be so much easier.
Hello?
What is up with this? Oh, this is annoying.
Sound kind of muffled.
Hello?
Hello.
Hey, Jonathan, how you doing?
I'm good, bro. How you doing?
I can't complain. Thank you for joining me on the show tonight. Let me just get that out of the way first and foremost.
Appreciate you having me, man.
Not a problem. If you would allow me, I want to read a little bit of your bio, because I like the way it's worded, and it gives the audience a good introduction as to who you are.
All right.
All right, and it states, Jonathan Wisted is an award-winning singer, songwriter, producer, arranger, pianist, and R&B / soul vocalist, whose recent album, Love is Street, is climbing the soul charts in the U.S., the U.K., Germany, and Nigeria. I definitely want to talk about that. For 5 weeks in early 2012, you were number one on the U.K. soul chart, the first independent artist to claim that spot for that long. And that's where I want to start this interview. How does it feel to have accomplished something like that?
You know what, man? It feels absolutely wonderful, man. I have not... achieved anything on that magnitude before, so it's new to me, man. It almost seems like I'm dreaming. When I got the news, man, and when I was even on the chart, and then it seemed like every week it climbed and climbed, and then when it reached the number one spot, I just couldn't believe it, man. And then the next week it was still number one, and people were calling from all across the world, man, wanting me to send them CDs, and you know, the stores is asking for it, and magazines is doing interviews and things, man. And you know, it's like almost like a snowball effect, man, all at once, you know. So, man, it feels awesome, man. Long time coming, man.
Now, what do you mean exactly when you say that? Like, how long have you been doing this thing?
Oh, man, well, I've been doing musical ventures, man, ever since I was a senior in high school, which was like the late 90s. And
right.
That was back when singing groups was in style. And I was in some R&B singing groups, and it went from 5 members to 4 to 3 down to a duo. 10 years almost, and then the guy I was singing with, he settled down, had a family and had children. So I said, well, I guess I'll just do it by myself. And I was doing some songs, man, in the studio, and I was intending on pitching them to other artists and have them sing it, you know.
But my
ex-girlfriend at the time, she was like, you know what, these are good enough for you. You need to just put them out yourself. So I put out an EP in 2010, and it was all right. It wasn't a true representation of me. So I wanted to do an album that was really representative of me. So I had a lot of tracks and compositions and things that I've created ever since high school, but I never had the words to really go with the music, because the music sounded more mature than my life experience. So I had to go through some things first for me to write the kind of lyrics that I wanted to the music. And so that's what came out on Love History. And so, man, I guess people really into it, I guess, man, so it must be something to it.
Well, you know, I've had the pleasure of listening to it, and I would say that there's definitely something to it. But I'm glad you brought up the title, Love History. I wanted to ask you, I said at the top of the show that that would be one of the first questions I asked. How did you come up with that title?
Man, talking to a lady friend of mine, and we was just confused on how, you know, how could certain people be with certain people. You know, growing up, you would see the finest girl, man, with the ugliest dude. In every case, man, it seemed like you would just ask that question, like, why is she with him? Or you'll see a handsome fella with a not so pretty girl, and like, what's the attraction there? What is it about the both of them that's attracting them to each other? So, or why is love making so good after people fuss and argue? And they end up having some awesome sex afterwards. You know what I mean? Like, what is that? What do you call that?
You know what, though? I've been thinking a lot about that. And I have a theory. And you can lend me your opinion to it. I think because, you know, like, you're so worked up, you know? Like, it's like the energy. You're building up energy as you argue.
Right.
And, you know, I think, and then, you know, when it comes time to have, you know, makeup sex or whatever you want to call it, I believe that you just have so much energy pent up that, you know, you release that energy. And
right.
We all know that that's basically, well, at least to me, I think that's what, you know, sex or making love is. It's the exchange of energy.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, when you have a lot of energy, it seems to me that it would make for some pretty good, you know, sex.
Well, it's funny that you're using the word energy, because that's one of the things that a friend that I was talking to over the phone was having a conversation. She was talking about the law of attraction and certain energies and things of that nature. And I was like, well, you know, you're talking about, like, you know, chemistry, you know, like the chemistry between people. And then that's how love and chemistry kind of came into one word, being love history. So that's where that comes from. You have all those different elements of that energy from being upset or missing someone for so long, or sacrificing for a person and they cheat on you. All this, whether it's good energy, bad energy, all these different elements, okay, all the different elements for you know, chemistry that you learn when you was in high school and college. Well, you flip that, we're talking about relationships, talking about love. So just put the two words together, love plus chemistry equals love history.
That makes a lot of sense. You know, can't deny that.
Yeah. Appreciate it, man. It was just one of those things that just popped up, man, you know. It didn't really take any, no deep thought or anything. It was just something that just popped up out of thin blue sky. Just, you know,
I can dig it.
Together. Yeah.
I can dig it. So I want to get into one of your tracks. As a matter of fact, this track here, I'm going to play a couple, but I want to play this one first because this is my favorite track on the CD, and it's You Make Me Say.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and if you could give us a little insight as to, you know, what went on with this song, or, you know, how you were inspired to write this song before we get into it.
Man, just to be honest with you, man, God has created an awesome, awesome thing, man, called a woman. And I'm just so grateful for women, you know what I mean? Like, they have so much power, man. And sometimes you just don't know the words to say or to explain how a woman can make you feel, you know what I mean? So sometimes I just find myself just saying, ooh, you know, as that woman walks by, I'm like, ooh, or she do something, you know, I'm just like, ooh, You know, there's just no words to explain or express how awesome she is. You know what I mean? So that's why the song is entitled "You Make Me Say Ooh." That's all I can say.
Well, folks, you heard it. You heard it from the man himself. Let's go ahead and let you hear that so you can have this become your favorite song as well.
Anywhere, ain't nobody that you can find.
Yeah, man. That right there. This is my thing. You know, I measure every good songwriter by his or her ability to write a good slow jam, because I feel that every CD, you know, especially, you know, if you're singing about love, like, you should have a good slow jam on your project. And that right there is the standard slow jam for your project. Like, that's it. I mean, I'm sure there's more, but if I had to pick one, that would be it.
I definitely appreciate it, man. Most definitely.
I can dig it. Now, you know, we're talking about, you know, love and relationships. I want to ask you, I went to see, you know, my better half and I went to see Think Like a Man Tonight. I want to know, have you seen it? And if so, what is your opinion of that movie?
Man, I have not seen it yet, but just by the previews, Kevin Hart, man, he's a natural talent, man. Some people are naturally funny, and some people are, they have to really work at it, at their crying.
Right.
That guy right there, man, he's so natural with it. And looks like the cast is a great cast, man. And from what I'm told, man, it shows both point of views from the male and the female perspective. So I would love to go see it. I just never ain't really had the time to go and view it, man. So I'm looking forward to it, though.
I'll say this much about it. A lot of I get the impression that a lot of people will think that the movie is about the book, and the movie is really not about the book. The movie just uses the book as the basis for the story. But it's really about, I guess, what every movie like that is about. You know, it's about,
right,
you know, men and women finding their way, you know,
right,
in relationships. I mean, and it's something that I think everybody can relate to. But I will say this, like, you know, I don't want to give too much away, if you intend to say that, but
I'm definitely going to see it, though.
Yeah, I mean, you would definitely laugh at Kevin Hart, because he's a fool, and it will definitely, you know, it will open a dialogue. It would definitely open a dialogue, you know. So, you know, go take someone with you, you know, preferably, you know, a female, and it'll definitely open a lot of dialogue. Because it addresses a lot of things, but I'll leave it there, because, like I said, I don't want to give it away too much.
Right, right. Okay. Well, I'm definitely gonna go see it, man, and it might inspire me, man, to dive in my musical catalog, man, and whip out some more songs, man. So I'm definitely gonna see it probably by next week.
I see that happening.
All right.
Speaking of, you know, diving in your musical catalog, what kind of things do you draw on when you write, like, as inspiration?
Man, it comes from a couple of different things, man. I grew up in a household where my dad used to work at an old record label here in Nashville, Tennessee, man. So he had access to a lot of records. And so we have a lot of closets full of old records, man, old 45s, and just a lot of old school albums, man. And growing up listening to Isaac Hayes and Bobby Womack and Al Green and Aretha Franklin and the Manhattans, and I mean, everybody you can think of, man. My dad had something on somebody. You name it, my dad had it. And he liked Al Green the most. So I would say that influence, as I'm growing up, it's still in me as far as I can't let go of my old school. You know what I mean? That old school is ingrained in me. It's in my DNA. You know what I'm saying?
I know how that is.
Yeah, it's just there. So I can't get around it. I can't get over it. It's just there. So that's one. Number two, I grew up in a church. My mom sang in the choir. That's where I get my voice from, my mom. And seeing her put herself in the song and really emote, and really you can see the emotions, you know, flowing, and you can just see how she would get into it. And she would sing from the heart. And so when I perform and when I write songs, you know, it's coming from the heart. And my dad always told me, he said, man, if you sing from the heart, it'll reach the heart. And so that's two. Number three, good music, man. Like, I can be sitting down at a piano, and if I just happen to come up with a certain little melody or something, then I just might just get inspired to, you know, write a song, you know, in 5 minutes. Or if it's like say for instance, just an instrumental or something. And I have a studio here in Nashville, and I have like a catalog of tracks that I've done over the years, but I just haven't wrote any lyrics to it. Sometimes I just go through, man, and just listen to some tracks, and I get inspired, man, to write something, and, you know, it may take a year, or it may take a month to write. It's just all about the inspiration and how it comes. I like to let songs flow. I don't force creativity. You know what I mean? I don't think artistry is forced. So I take my time with songs. Like a lot of the songs that you're hearing are probably 5, 6, 7 years old, man. You're just hearing it for the first time here now. But like musically, man, a lot of those compositions, man, was done late 90s. Early 2000s, and then 5 years later, 4 years later, I write something to it, or just writing something to it here recently in the past year or two. So I take my time with songs, make sure I'm saying what I want to say and how it comes across. The next thing is life experience. You know, when you go through, you know, the good and the bad, you know. And everybody had that one relationship where you just like, man, why am I with her? Or why am I with him? You know. Everybody's been through that, you know. Like, man. But at the same time, you're like, okay, I don't want to let this person go. What is it about this person? I can't stand her, but.
Yeah. Say no more. I know exactly
what you're saying.
Yeah.
So you know, life experiences, man, is, you know, a great tool, man, to pull from, man. You know, a lot of my songs is, I wouldn't say that they are 100% accurate as far as my life story or what I went through. I don't really put myself out there like that. But
right.
a lot of the songs were inspired by true events. But like, I have a song called Back Again, a song about me trying to, you know, get the lady back from, she called me cheating on her, but in all actuality, in real life, she was cheating on me. I just decided not to put her on blast. I put myself on blast to be the bigger person. You see what I'm saying? So that's pretty much, man, where I get my inspiration from, man. So I'm just a little church boy, man, down here in the South, man, just singing, thinking about love, man, and, you know, enjoying every minute of it.
I feel you. I want to get into one more track of yours. I believe this is the track that spent the 5 weeks at number one on the UK Soul Chart, Sexy Lady Love.
All right.
The one, right? Yeah, now, I mean, besides the title, because that's pretty obvious, you know. What inspired you for this particular song?
Man, I had a female friend of mine a couple of years ago. She said, "Won't you write a song about me?" And she was just playing around and just, you know, just joking, whatever. And I said, "I'm gonna write a song about you." And it was actually a coworker of mine. And you know, you're not supposed to date who you work with. You know, the conflict of interest or whatever it is when you're in a certain workplace. And so I just, you know, used that experience, you know, seeing her walk by doing what she do. And I'm trying to give her a compliment without, you know, her being offended. You know what I mean? Just want her to know that, you know, hey, I know we work together and all that, but, man, you sexy. So I need to let you know that, hey, you are so sexy. If we didn't work together, man, I'd be all on you. So that's pretty much where that comes from.
I can dig it. I'll save my comments that I was about to make for when we get back. But I have a lot to talk about in terms of, you know, messing with someone that you work with. That's a lesson that I learned, you know, the hard way.
Oh, yeah, man. Me too.
Yeah, we're going to get into this, though. I really like this cut, too, by the way. So, you know,
cool, man. Appreciate it.
All right, folks, this is Sexy Lady Love. As I said, this song spent 5 weeks number one on the UK Soul chart. And check it out.
There's a side of you I haven't seen before. Yeah, you give me glimpses, you pique my interest, leaving me wanting more. Sexy lady love, I hope you're not offended. I hope you don't mind, I just wanna call ya. Sexy lady love, you really caught my eye. Is that alright? Every day on the job, you seem to capture my attention, babe. You got to pull me in, you find your way to get under my skin, but that ain't your intention.
Is it alright?
first question that I need to ask is, how did she react when she heard that?
Oh, man, dude, man, she went crazy.
I can imagine, you know, possible outcomes of that, but I won't get into that. But you know how it go.
Hey, man, nature, when nature calls, man, we answer.
Exactly. That's a good way of putting it.
I
also wanted to ask you, though, because me being a poet, I've encountered that before where, you know, I've come across people and I might not even, you know, might not have even known them that well. But, you know, I used to get asked a lot, like, you know, can you write something about me? Can you write a poem about me? And I'm like, I never saw how I could just do that if I really didn't know a person, or, you know, or if I didn't have somewhere to start. So, I mean, is that something that you find yourself, or do you find that easy to do? Or is it because you kind of knew this person that you were able to write that?
It was inspiration, man. Like, if I'm not inspired, I can't write it. You know what I mean? So I knew her because I worked with her, but I didn't really know her. All I really knew was just her physical self. You know what I mean? So that's all I could really write about, was the physicality part, but put it in a way that was still respectful, and, you know, and then that's basically what inspired me, just thinking of that woman, and not just her, because I still wanted every woman that heard that song to feel sexy and make the song come across like it was talking directly to whatever woman is listening to it.
Right.
And so that's what it comes from. I just was inspired to do that. You know what I mean? I didn't have a song like that. Besides that, You Make Me Say Ooh, you know, I really wanted to really just pinpoint, you know, certain things, and, you know, that's just what inspired me. I've written songs for a long time, and, you know, sometimes, man, you write some garbage, and sometimes you write some catchy stuff, man, but you never hear the garbage because it won't get recorded, you know what I mean? But sometimes you go through trial and error, you know what I mean? So
I can dig it.
Yeah, it's all about inspiration at the end of the day.
On a personal note, because, like I said, I am a poet, and for a while now, I've been wanting to transition into songwriting, and I ask every songwriter that I come across this question because I guess I'm trying to find my way, and, you know, I can't sing and I don't play an instrument. So I guess what I'm asking is, like, for someone like myself who can't sing and can't play an instrument, what advice would you give, you know, in terms of being able to, you know, write a good song, you know, because, like, it's easy for me to write a poem because, you know, like, I have a different, I guess, rhyme scheme with that. And, you know, it's not really melodic, or if it is melodic, it's more like how hip hop is melodic as opposed to how R&B is. And so,
right,
you know, I find
right.
it difficult, you know, to consciously write a song because it always comes out sounding like a poem. But
right,
but,
right.
Yeah, you know, what kind of advice would you give to someone like me, you know, to be able to write a good song?
I think the easiest way, man, is to get your favorite songs and rewrite the lyrics, like the same melody and everything, but rewrite the lyrics as if you wrote the song. So it'll be a complete different verse. Let's just pick a song, D'Angelo's Brown Sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of, you know, song being about brown sugar, call it Sweet Honey. And the same scheme, rhyme scheme that he's got going on during the verse, write it your way. You have the beat already, got the instrumental, so you know you will know how many words you need or how many syllables you need to fulfill that certain time signature, whether it's a 8-bar or 16. So that's the easiest way to do it. I know when it for me, I didn't start playing piano till I was 17. What I did was, and I played by ear, I played to songs on the radio, and same chords and everything. And eventually, I didn't need to play to those songs on the radio anymore because I could play those things on my own. So
right.
it's the same concept. Like, people go and sing karaoke all the time. People that can sing, people that cannot sing. But those that can sing, it helps them perform better because it gives them an opportunity to get in front of people and sing. And it's other people's song, you know what I mean? Same thing. So once they sing their own song, they'll know how to present it on stage. Same thing with songwriting. Get you a song, man, that you really like. Change the lyrics. Write your own song to it. You know what I mean? That'd be like the easiest way to go about it. But if you started from scratch, I would definitely take one of the poems that you've written. You got to have some kind of melody or some kind of beat or rhythm to put to your lyrics. So your poem is going to flow a certain kind of way. And once you kind of get into what that flow is, you can kind of come up with a kind of rhythm, a rhythmic way of how you're saying those words and how those syllables is flowing as you say them. And so once you catch that rhythm, you can kind of figure out, okay, this sounds like a verse right here. And then when you get to the chorus, you want your chorus to be like the main point that you want to get across, the catchy part that everybody's going to remember. You know what I mean? It's nothing worse, man, than listening to a song with a chorus that has so many words to remember. I have a choir, man, here in Nashville, and a lot of the songs that are chosen for the choir to sing, man, they have like about 4 or 5 words in the chorus. I'm not about to teach a song that got about 30 words in it because they're not going to remember all the words. So I tell it to anybody, man, that's interested in songwriting, make your choruses easy for people to remember. And that tends to be the best songs, you know. So, I mean, that's pretty much the best advice I could give.
Well, I definitely appreciate that. I always value the insight of successful songwriters because, I mean, what else do I have to go on?
Right.
You know, to try to tap you guys' brain and try to figure something out. But let me get my words together. I had asked you, you know, prior to this interview to put together a list of, you know, 5 songs that you wanted to hear. And, you know, I won't go into how, you know, you just kept naming stuff that I didn't have, which is a little embarrassing, but I managed to get 5 songs that, you know, you asked for. I did get at least, I got 4 that you actually asked for, and I was able to add a different Al Green song because I didn't have either of the Al Green songs that you asked for. But before I get into that, I want to ask you, at what point, you know, when, you know, just growing up, when did it hit you that this is what you wanted to do?
I was a freshman in college, and I had a choice to either stay in school. I went to school on a golf scholarship, actually. Growing up, my daddy taught me. He was a mean golfer back in the day, man. He got trophies in the house. So growing up, I played golf with my dad and was fortunate to get a golf scholarship. Made my parents proud, and it made me feel good. Brought me joy to make my parents happy. But in going to Tennessee State University on a golf scholarship and giving that a shot, I tried that. It didn't bring me joy. It brought my parents joy. It didn't bring me joy. And I was still singing then. I was singing singing groups and stuff. And I found myself always going to the music building, and I was still writing songs and sitting down at the piano and playing and singing. The lady walked by and all that, you know, getting attention and stuff. And a couple of opportunities came up after my freshman year in college, man, where I was working with different producers and was able to play for different bands and things, and went on tour with some folks playing in bands and stuff when I was 19. And my golf coach at Tennessee State University called and said, you're going to have to go to summer school if you want to keep your golf scholarship. So you was either go to summer school or go on tour and ride on tour buses and all of that. So, you know, me being a young man and adventurous and all that.
You chose tour buses.
You betcha by golly, wow. I sure did. And I haven't looked back since. I don't regret that decision. And, and you know what? Going to Tennessee State University and going through that experience is a part of my musical journey. I had to go through that to figure out this is what I want to do. And this is the other area that, you know, God actually pushed me into. And I'm thankful and grateful for that.
Well, I'm thankful and grateful because if not, we wouldn't be here right now. So.
Oh, man, you're right about that. Man, you know what? It's, you know, technology is making it easy for anyone to be producers and songwriters and artists and everything. You know, back in the day, you had to have that special something in order to, you know, get that record deal or, you know, get the notoriety. And these days, all you need is a computer, some software, and anybody can do it. And so,
but you know what though,
the floodgates is wide open. And I'm saying this for a reason. Like I know that a part of my purpose here on this earth is for me to sing and write songs of love, to encourage people to love each other better. You know what I mean? But you have a lot of people. You have a lot of people out here that's making music because they're just trying to be on TV or just trying to, you know, be, you know, write the big hits so they can make some money. They're doing it for money purposes, but they're not in it for the love of it. You know what I mean? And I mean, I have a studio here in Nashville, man, where people come and they don't really have the talent, but this, they really want to do it. You know what I mean? And
right.
So it kind of just kind of messes things up a little bit when it comes to the industry, man. The industry, you know, you can't really find out about those independent artists that are extra good, that's, you know, in Washington, D.C. or in Louisville, Kentucky, or in Los Angeles, because there's so many artists trying to do it, but 80% of them are not really that good, you know what I mean, all because of the way technology is, and it kind of makes it hard for people like myself that actually is doing it for the love and, you know, doing it from the heart. You know, kind of makes it hard for, you know, people like yourself to even, you know, find out about a Jonathan Winstead, you know, because I just came out, you know, in December, and it took
that's
a couple
only been
months.
That long, really?
It's been that long, but it took a couple of months for you even to find out, you know what I mean? So that's the reason why I brought that up, you know what I mean? It's getting kind of out of hand a little bit, man. I just found out tonight that, you know, it's a certain artist opened up for Anthony Hamilton here in Nashville, Tennessee. I got a phone call. It was like, Jonathan, why didn't you open up for Anthony Hamilton? I don't know. I mean, I talked to the promoter people, and they said they had someone already. And to find out that the artist that opened up for Anthony Hamilton wasn't all that good. But it's politics going on, and there's a lot of behind the scenes stuff that you don't know about. So, man, this industry is getting real strange.
I definitely agree, and I was going to say when you first brought this up that, I mean, it's the advent of that technology has, in my opinion, has become a detriment to an extent because, like you said,
yes.
I mean, it gives anyone the idea, and not that that's wrong. It's just that, you know, like you said, like now people are doing it for the wrong reasons, or they're seeing it like, oh, you know, I could use this to make a quick buck, and you know, you can't mess with music like that. And you know, I could go deeper, you know, when we talk about, you know, just the commodification of music in itself and what these major labels are doing. I, you know, that's another conversation.
Right.
But it all ties in together. And
right,
anyone
right.
who knows me, they know how I feel about that. Like I'm so anti mainstream, it's ridiculous.
Right.
I was seriously, you know, and I still think about it from time to time, but when the whole Occupy movement came up, I was seriously thinking about spearheading an Occupy mainstream radio movement.
Man, you know what? Man, I would be right there with you, man. I'd be right there with you. Because, you know, it's amazing how when I sent a CD over to the UK and sent it to one DJ, that DJ told his group of people, that group of people told a bigger group of people, and it just snowballed. And they appreciated the music so much to where I was put on the charts and was getting in magazines, doing interviews, and I'm sending boxes of CDs to stores over there, man. It was an appreciation. But here in the States, the same level of appreciation is, like, not there. You know what I mean? They look at independent artists like, there's something wrong with them. Like, you're independent. We can't give you an opportunity because you're not on a major record label. But you send your stuff overseas. I have to send it hundreds and thousands of miles away for it to be appreciated. There's something wrong with that. You know?
Yeah.
The UK and Germany and Switzerland and all that, they could care less what my Twitter numbers and how many likes I have on Facebook. They don't care about that. What they care about is good music. They know good music when they hear it, and they're going to support good music. They don't care how many Twitter friends I have and Facebook friends I have. Like, what's your numbers look like? That's the response I get when I talk to business people here in the States. Oh, your project sounds good, but what's your numbers look like? Who cares about the numbers?
Believe me, I understand.
I mean, I had a distribution company turn me down, man. They heard about the buzz and everything and sent me an email and want the CD, sent them the CD. And, you know, you heard it. You know, good quality, everything's good, all is well. Got a phone call, said, yeah, your vocals is amazing, but there's a 60-hertz hum that is heard throughout your CD, and it's not the best quality, so we're going to not go forward with your distribution deal.
A 60-hertz hum? Pardon my French, but what the hell is that?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, the United States is so stuck on technicalities, man. And instead of actually, I mean, we used to support good, soulful music, man. And we've gotten so technical. We got so advanced, man. They just don't know what good music is, man. It's like, I don't understand. It's like we're walking in reverse.
It's not even reverse. It's just we're walking.
Well, I'm not even going to say we, because me and you, we're not really included in that, but they...
That's right, that's right.
They are walking, like, this is the best way I can put it. It's like they created their own world, mm-hmm. and, you know, all the criteria fits in their world, but the music doesn't. And I'll give you an example, like, when you look at... like, award shows, like, you know, these people that get these Grammys and these stuff, like, they get these Grammys based off sales. Like, it has nothing to do with, like, the quality of their music. I mean, like, you listen to the music and it's like, what? That really won a Grammy?
Right. And, man, and the time put in, and, like, when you're producing a record, man, you want to make sure that the musical arrangement is top notch, the song lyrics, top notch, and then the vocal performance is top notch, and then when those three things is working together sonically, okay, and there's nothing fighting, and it's a really good song, you would think when you send that song out to a DJ like yourself, you're hoping that they like the song, you know what I mean? They're not caring about a hum, or they heard this, they heard that. They want to know, what's this song about? I want to hear this song. And it's a lot of good songs, man, that's not being played on these major radio stations, man, all because they're just independent. They don't have the necessary major market backing. Man, I heard a group. Have you heard of Dirty Loops?
No.
I challenge you to type in "Dirty Loops" on YouTube. It's a white band that covers a lot of pop songs, and like "Rolling in the Deep" by Adele and Justin Bieber and people like that. But they have like jazz arrangements to it, and it's amazing. You being a music connoisseur, man, I encourage you and whoever's listening to this tonight, "Dirty Loops." Look it up on YouTube. It will blow your mind. I'm talking about musically. It will just take you to a place like a world unknown. I didn't know. I've been messed up for the past couple of days, brother. It's that serious.
Yeah, I was just sitting there. I'm on Wikipedia now, reading about this 60 hertz hum, and it's really just. It seems like it's just a phenomenon that occurs. I guess, so, I mean, I don't know. It's really scientific the way they're breaking this down. But it just makes me wonder, like, what are they using that they heard this? Like, they were able to discern that this was occurring in the music. Because, you know, me, I didn't really hear anything. And I'm not going to front. Like, I've received music that you can tell when you listen to it. It's just, like, you know, the production is crap.
Right.
I don't hear that when I listen to your music. I hear a quality produced product. So, like, what are they listening to?
I asked the same question. I asked him what did he listen to it on? What kind of speakers? I said I went through a rigorous process in which when I got it mixed and mastered, made sure everything sounded the way it needed to sound. And instead of listening to the product, listening to the songs, the album, you know, like, man, it's been successful. I mean, there's nothing wrong with the songs, you know what I mean? But out of all things, this guy tells me I can't get a distribution deal to where my stuff would have been sold in, you know, the Walmarts and the Target, Best Buys, and, you know, all those big stores across the U.S. and stores overseas. He tells me, well, you know, it's not the best quality. It's a 60 hertz hum.
That just sounds like a bunch of crap. That really does. I've never heard anything like that in my entire. Like, that's why I had to look it up, because I'm like, did he just make that up? That just sounds like something you just make up. But
he took time out. He took time out to email it and everything. My publicist emailed him back, said, you know, I mean, we've got it checked out. There's no hum, and, you know, it's being sold everywhere, and, you know, get a nice, you know, some nice recognition for the CD. It'd be great to, you know, get distribution and, you know, X, Y, and Z. And he said, well, no, you know, we might have to get a remastered, remix, remaster or something. I kid you not, man. It cracked me up. All I could do was just giggle. I said, you know, it must not have been for me, you know, and that's okay.
Yeah, it sounds like you wouldn't want to deal with these people anyway.
Right. Yeah. So, man, you know what? I've been blessed. I'm not complaining, but I just brought that point up for the main fact that, you know, the music industry in the United States just looks at the wrong factors and what makes a product what it's supposed to be. And like in the UK, they appreciate good music, man. They know it when they hear it. You know what I mean? Like, I got a phone call asking for me and another artist from Nashville to come to the UK in this January coming up in 2013, man, which is a very big deal because, man, they put on great shows over there, man. They support.
Oh, believe
me.
I know.
They support. Yeah, man. So I can't
wait to do that. Yeah, you definitely should do that. And it's funny, right, because, you know, I serve as a publicist for a UK artist that's looking to get a buzz here in the States. And I'm running across the same thing that you're talking about because, like, you know, I tell her often, like, it's harder than you think because the U.S. doesn't look at music the same way you're accustomed to. So it's not going to be an easy task, but I'm diligent and I'm going to get it done because I believe in her. But
right.
It's really hard. It's really hard. I can't even.
Right.
It's one of the hardest things that I've ever embarked on because the industry here, like you said, is just so screwed up. It's like,
right.
What do you got to
right.
do? Like, what do you have to do to even?
Right.
I mean, and it's not like I'm not asking for much. I'm not trying to get this girl a deal. I just want. You know, I just want to get this buzz created so she can get over here and start, you know, going around and performing because, you know, like that's pretty much where it starts. You know, she's not going to be able to perform here until people know who she is.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, man, you know what? I would really love to come perform in your area, man.
Oh, we can make that happen. We can definitely make. I'm working on some things that, you know, if they go the way that I'm hoping they go, I'm definitely going to be looking for you to come perform because, yeah, people need to know. I don't mess around. People need to know. People need to hear what you got going on.
Oh yeah, man. Cause I'm starting a concert series. Going to a couple of different cities. Starting next week. Matter of fact, we're going to Memphis. Going on to Atlanta. Going over to North Carolina, man, and going up to Cincinnati, Ohio, down to Dallas, man, in June. So, man, I'm gonna be moving and shaking, man. So, man, I got a killer band, man. A lot of those musicians that you heard on the records, man, they play with me still. I like to keep, yeah, man. I got the same musicians, man. So, what you hear on that? On a record, man, it even comes more alive when it comes to the live performance, man. It's amazing, man. Like, seriously.
I can do it. Well, before I let you go, I want to first I want to give you an opportunity to drop some information on the folks where they can, you know, check your music out, you know, all the spots where they can purchase it and just any information that, you know, you want to get out there. And then, you know, we're going to get out of here and get your playlist played because, yeah, I've been waiting to hear this little mix.
All right. Well, you can find out all information about Jonathan Winstead at www.jonathanwinsteadmusic.com. I'm on Facebook. .com/Jonathan Winstead. My Facebook artist page is J Winstead Music. You can find me on YouTube. I have my album release party video on YouTube. You just type in J Winstead Music. on there as well. And I'm on Twitter at John, J-O-N, underscore, Winstead, is W-I-N-S-T-E-A-D. And, yeah, man, thank you so much for having me, man. It's been a pleasure talking with you.
Oh, man, not a problem. Not a problem at all. Definitely, you know, the next time that you need to get some stuff out there, I'm always, you know, you're always welcome here.
I appreciate it, man. You know what, I mean, I got, I'm halfway through my Love Is Tree Volume 2 album. So, man, you're going to be one of the first, man, people to get it, man, as soon as I get done with it.
I can dig that. Thank you. I appreciate that. Now,
yes,
tell me a little bit about your mix before we actually play this, which should, you know, this should take us out for the rest of the show. But, yeah, tell me a little bit about your mix. I heard you say, you know, the stuff you grew up on, and, you know, you mentioned Al Green, and I'm pretty sure that's how Al Green made the list. But, you know, you have D'Angelo, Me and Those Dreaming Eyes of Mine. You have Jodeci, Come and Talk to Me. You have Jill Scott, The Way, which I definitely applaud you for that, because that's my favorite Jill Scott song. And
Mine too.
Right, yeah, Music Soul Child, Half Crazy, which is, I still think of that video. That video is a little something to that video. And like I said, I couldn't find the Al Green songs that you asked me about, but I do have, you know, For the Good Times, which is,
that's even better than what I requested, man. That's one of my faves right there.
Yeah, so, you know, tell me, does that represent, you know, the mixture of music that you listen to? How did you come up with these particular songs?
Well, when you asked me, man, I wanted to give you songs that if I was a fan, if I was riding in my car, when the song came on, I would be like, oh, yeah, I remember that song. I want to listen to that. So I remember sitting in my car and when listening to, you know, Jodeci, Come and Talk to Me, come on, everybody in the car is singing the song. You know what I mean? That was a favorite, you know, back in the day, man, when that thing came out, man. So,
yeah.
And plus, man, I like the way KC, man, he go hard, man, when he sang, man. Like he does not hold back. And he reminds me of Bobby Womack. You know what I'm saying? They don't play with you. They ain't babying around when they singing to you. You know, they singing hardcore with you. So I like that hard kind of singing, man, sometimes. But that roughness. And then that Jill Scott, man, that's like my favorite Jill Scott song as well, man. Just the way that music, that bass line. I'm a big fan of bass lines, man. I love bass lines.
Yeah.
And D'Angelo, man, that actually really got me into music. I was a athletic dude growing up, man. I was into basketball and football and golf, like I talked about before. And I was more into, you know, sports and things, man. And then when D'Angelo came out, I knew I could sing and all that, but I was more into playing basketball and all that. But when D'Angelo came out, I had to sit down. I was like, wait a minute. This is a young brother. I want to do that. Like, he inspired me. Like, man, I want to do what he's doing. Like, the chords he was hitting, man, on that Rhodes piano, man, and the way he was using his voice, man. He was going into that falsetto, man, like Prince, and doing a little Al Green little stuff, man. I was like, man, this is a young dude doing that? Oh, man. If he can do it, I can do it, too. So
I hear that.
Man, yeah. So D'Angelo, he was one of my first young man inspirations. And then, you know, move on later on with Music Soul Child, you know, when he came out, I said, man, there's another young brother, man. He's not trying to be like nobody else. He's just doing him. And he's been consistent down through the years. And, yeah, man, Music Soul Child, man, he's a good dude. I met him before. And, yeah, man, he's down to earth. And, yeah, they go my list right there, man. Hey, you can't go wrong with For the Good Times of Al Green, man. That's,
you cannot, man, go wrong. You're right.
You can't go wrong with that, man. Like, if anybody don't have Al Green in their top five as far as soul singers, there's got to be something wrong with
them. Yeah, that is just too young to understand.
Man, you know, folks kill me, man, when they say Kobe Bryant is better than Michael Jordan. Like, come on.
I'm not even touching that.
You understand what I'm saying, though? Like,
yeah.
How dare you? How dare you?
Yeah, it's like, you go slap yourself.
Right, exactly.
You know, like, you are tripping right now.
Right.
But yeah, man, I appreciate you, you know, taking the time out of your busy Friday, you know, to come hang out with me. And, you know, I'll definitely be hitting you up because I definitely want to talk to you some more about, you know, having you come up this way and do some shows. But, yeah, we're going to get out of here. We're going to play your little mix. I was trying to think of a good, you know, slick name to call this mix, but I can't. So, you know, we'll just call this. This is the Jonathan Winstead Love History Soul Sessions interview mix right here. And, you know, this is how we're going to get out of here.
All right, man. I appreciate you, man. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, man. Have a good one.
How about you, too?
All right. All right, folks, there you have it. That was the very talented Jonathan Winstead. As you heard, you know, all the avenues you can go to, you know, check him out, so please do so. And in the meantime, we're going to ride out with the mix that we've been talking about. First up is D'Angelo with Me and Those Dreaming Eyes of Mine. Before I do that, though, I just want to say that if you are listening via the archives, I thank you for taking the time out to do so. And, you know, if you get a chance, check us out live every Friday, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, right here on Flavor News Radio. And I will catch you guys next week. Peace.
Whoa, 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 yeah, yeah, yeah. Whoa, 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 yeah, 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 yeah.
for a long time. Look so good. Got my eyes on you.
I've been watching you for so very long, trying to get my nerves built up to be so strong. I really want to meet you, but I'm kind of
took a shower, dressed, cleaned up my place.
I'd hate to walk away from you as if
different, yeah. Lately I gotta watch what I say, 'cause you take things personal nowadays. You used to laugh, now you get mad. Damn, I just want my friend back, yeah. My window.
one more time. Of a good time, I'll get along. I'm sure you'll find another. But baby, please remember, I'll be here. I'm gonna stay right here. If you should ever find you need me, yeah, don't say a word about tomorrow or forever and ever and ever and ever. There'll be time enough for severance when you leave. Hey, 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 hey. For the good time. Oh, yeah. For the good time. Good time. And here's what you ought to do.